The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and I got the greatest audience. I'm going to give you some proof in a little while. But before I do that, some programming notes for tonight, Monday, March 18th. We got the PBS NewsHour at 7 to 8 p.m. Got me speaking in the Yankee twang right about now. You know what I'm saying? Then we got the Bookcase from 8 to 8:30. Sarah and Addy 2.0 from 8:30 to 9. Dante, Inferno to Paradise, two-hour edition. From 9 to 11, right? Part 1 explores the historical background of medieval Florence from 1216 to Dante's birth in 1265 and recounts the dramatic details of Dante's life and the Divine Comedy. That's Dante, Inferno to Paradise, two-hour edition from 9 to 11 p.m. And then we got POV, Point of View. Follow a blind, undocumented immigrant as he follows his dreams to become a social worker. And then, of course, I'm Important Company will do a midnight thing tonight. Normally 11, but because the time turned forward now, but do it at midnight tonight. Okay? So, PBS NewsHour at 7, The Bookcase at 8, Sarah and Addy at 9, Dante, Inferno to Paradise from 9 to 11, and then 11 o'clock, POV, Point of View. Okay? I got the greatest audience. Wuchi Shang just come in for Doc Sass, man, and had me to know that Rocky and Rani,
yeah.
Coco Gauff turned 20 last Wednesday, man. Same thing we were talking about. You know what I'm saying? So, I got the best audience. They're really good for true. And by the way, good morning once again, gentlemen. We do a top of the show reset. I got Ronnie Russell, K9 Ridge, but originally out of the West. And we got Rocky Lay. But Rocky, you still in the mainland?
Yeah.
Still in the mainland, but he out of Coral Bay. You used to name Coral Bay back in the day, right? that was the name, right? Yeah, I named Coral Bay first, and now it's Coral Bay, or...
Depends on pronunciation.
over there in St. John. By the way, Dwayne Henry sent me a photo. Rocky, he sent me a photo of Alcatraz.
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say, Rocky and Rani, there was no escape from Alcaraz in Indian Wells this weekend as he beat up at Medvedev yesterday. In the finals, and I think he actually defended his title. That's the second year in a row.
Yeah.
He won India Wells 1000. So we'll see.
You know what?
Yeah,
we know Neville. You know he defended his title since the goal defended it.
The goal defend what? What the goal defend?
No. What I'm saying is that this is the first time since the goal defended it before.
Oh, yes. I understand what you're saying. I know you had to find a way to just chuck that one in, so I'm going to give you a break. We good. Hey, let me ask this question, Ronnie. You know, you're a track and field a governor over the years. When I was growing up, you know, it was Raymond Barkley and Richard Berry were our top young tennis stars. What can we do, real quickly, to wrap this up? To get our young people to get involved in sports like tennis. Okay, everything ain't about team sports. You know, golf, tennis, you know, we got other sports that they could excel in. What are we talking about? Rebuilding facilities and all that stuff?
Three things. You have to have the facilities, and you have to have a leader in the arena that could really promote bringing the youth in.
Mm-hmm. And the governor, one thing I'll give the governor credit for, he's big on sports, you know. So,
yeah. You have to have coaches that could guide these young people. So mm-hmm. You got to have the facilities. You have to have a leader in the federation or a leader in the community who would promote the sport and get people interested. And then you have to have the coaches who could really coach the athletes to a higher level of performance.
Mm-hmm.
And those three things, they have to be there. They have to go hand in hand. You can't leave out the facilities.
You need that parental support, Rodney, man.
You have to have all three working together. And we have a community here that is, you know, very responsive, you know, in a lot of arenas. We lack in terms of the facilities. We're lacking in that. So, you know, we haven't risen to the occasion, right. You know, rise to the occasion to have. We still got the Pali Joseph still being built. You know, things like that. You can't have it and develop.
I remember, Rodney, we were in the Senate in your legislature in the 29th when that project, right, included tennis, right? Pali Joseph included tennis, volleyball, swimming, right?
Yep.
And baseball.
Yep.
So even if the players were suspect, the concept made sense. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And here we are 12, 13 years later, and we're still struggling. So we got to work on that.
Yeah.
Hey, Rocky, they still got tennis courts down there in Sub-Base?
Yeah.
And what are we here? Where else they got tennis courts? Where else they got public tennis courts that you know of in St. Thomas?
Well, if you want to call it public, but down UVI, they play down there also.
What about out in the country? You're not out in the country?
Over by McBean, he's have a course out there, but basically, they're supposed to be having some in a new area they're building up.
Yeah.
Out in,
That Nazareth area where they got a swimming pool, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So hopefully they could build some tennis courts out there as well, you know what I'm saying?
Then have some in Cruz Bay, you know, as you come in off of the barge, you'll see them there.
Okay.
Because tennis is an
ideal sport for us in the Virgin Islands, and we would have year-round training. Ideal.
Definitely. But it's something else that you guys mentioned that you mentioned there about what it takes to get our young people involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you a classic example for myself and my family. When we were growing up, my father in particular, he didn't like no sports.
Yeah, you told us that. You told us that last week.
Yeah, he wasn't into no basketball and baseball and track and field. And my brother was a runner, the one that just passed. He was a runner. He was a really track star. So what I'm saying is that sometimes the parental involvement is a big factor.
No, we brought that up. I brought that up, and Ronnie said that was the fourth dynamic.
Yeah, and you know the other part about it? Our school system and community. Let me tell you why I say that. In St. John in particular, most of our players, I mean, you know, athletes play softball because every weekend you would see the guys playing some kind of game in the community. So everybody wanted to be a part of it. That's the part about it, is that they see our younger people, our young children, see that those engaging in these activities, and they too become interested in it. And when that's absent, then the school system have to play a role. Right now, Little League is going to have a little issue because they don't have a lot of young people into that sport, you know. So they have to start doing it through the intramural games, territory-wide, to get that excitement because the generation of people who are into a lot of those baseball, softball, they're not there now. It's a new generation.
No, well, you're right. Basically, what you're saying is maybe we need to support the school leagues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
The school is a vehicle that can bring everybody in because what you have is that sport.
Yeah, that interscholastic sports is something that we need to look at. No, that's a good point. It can't be all on the private side. Let we use the school leagues. Let we use the school leagues as a catalyst to make that happen. So I just wanted to let the public know that we're, you know, sensitive to, you know, our potential down here as well. And we could do that. Rocky, there's a regulation size tennis court at a residence in the National Park in St. John. One of my listeners.
Yeah.
Pay there.
I guess they gotta be up on the hill now because they're doing some work up there.
Okay. Yeah, why people let me know that even in the park service they got tennis courts over there, man. Hey, what going on, buddy? We'll keep an eye on that one. Yeah. Anyway, gentlemen, hot topic. Ronnie, I want to start with you because this is your field, your profession. We had a resignation less than a year of the Attorney General's office. Ariel Smith has resigned, and I think the governor named an acting replacement. Clement is his name? Ronnie? Hold on there. I'll make sure I get this right. He is an acting Attorney General. Now, Ronnie, what it is about the Attorney General office over the years, why from time to time you tend to get certain administrations with high turnover? What is it about that agency? Have we lost Ronnie? Ronnie there? Look like we lose Ronnie. Rocky.
Yeah.
Changes at the Attorney General's office. What's your take on that? First impression?
Problems in paradise. I'm glad we're going to this issue because I think that our listeners like to hear us discuss the analyze the community issues, you know, where we do a lot of, you know, abroad. Sometimes they want to know a little more about us there.
No, we got obligation to do that.
Yeah. And so this is what I look at with Attorney General's office, especially what I see up in there now. To me, this whole change up comes from one thing, Epstein. This whole scenario about the Epstein case is creating a kind of a frenzy in that agency. And I think it started with, from my observation, when an article came out saying that the Attorney General's office is going to represent, at that time I believe it was former Governor Mack and the former Attorney General Fraser.
Vincent Fraser, yeah.
Right. Now, everybody knows that a number of other names were called in this whole scenario, and the question is, why those two out of all of the rest? This is what the common sense thing would say. And I believe that that may have been done prior to any major discussion with all of the high-ups. And so when that discussion came, because I know some of the players, and I know that they're going to say, well, wait a minute, man. How come I could be doing this thing here? Mack was against us. Fraser was a former non-governor. So what happened to our people? How come they aren't represented? Like Celestino and Dow. They are guys that, you know, they're part of the administration before. So I believe that's where the issue is. I don't know. I like to call it straight up.
So you're saying the selective representation created some problems?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe it created some problems because I don't know whether it was a reluctance on the agency to do all or do some, and I believe that didn't sit well. But you know what doesn't sit well either? This air of some kind of a collusion, corruption in the territory, that doesn't sit well. And we scroll around it all the time. We pretend they have. You see, we're talking about Netanyahu and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own little thing brewing here, you know.
Well, every jurisdiction, yeah. every jurisdiction got their own little things they got to deal with. Yeah, man.
We got our own little thing brewing, and sooner or later, it's like in the police department, they say that, you know, the police officer out there go and do it. They check what it's called. I think they call hanging fruits, something like that. Yeah. They light that's out, the tail light that's cracked, the tint that you have in your dog is what they call hanging fruit.
Yeah, the lowest hanging fruit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let them go all the time until everybody figured they could get away and they start going for the big fruit.
But check this out. So, check this out, Rocky. Ronnie, back on yet? Look like okay, Ronnie in there. Okay, so check this out, Rocky. I like to look at things from a big picture perspective.
Okay.
We're looking at, in a matter of 14 and a half months, right? You had Denise George, right?
Yes.
Who was let go on December 31st of 2022. You had Karel Jacobs, right? That's her name?
Yeah.
Right? Hold on, I want to make sure I get this right, because I'm reading from the news feed article on our WTJX news feed. Karel Thomas Jacobs, right?
Right.
She served as the acting attorney general before the governor nominated her on March 2nd of 2023, right? So she was in that acting capacity for 60 days or thereabouts, right? And then you had Ariel Smith, right, who was nominated and confirmed by the legislature and sworn in.
Yeah.
Right? And now we have Ian Clement. That's four leaders of an agency within a span of 14 and a half months. That's a lot of change, Rocky. A lot of leadership change.
Exactly. So you tell you the turmoil. And this is a branch that shouldn't have turmoil because they are a legal arm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's a legal arm that it's an agency that's supposed to be looking out for the community, to making sure that they're getting the best legal or right decisions that are made to represent the territory.
No, Rocky, you know, as soon as we switch to this topic, you know that my cell phone got well, right?
Well, you know, it got well.
So, but one suggestion, a good one, is it would be helpful to your listeners to review the role of the AG. And I just want to make this distinction. The Attorney General, right, represents the people of the Virgin Islands. She does not represent the governor. Even though the governor nominates or him or her, right, to the legislature for adoption and confirmation, right? The governor himself has in-house government house counsel. Right,
yeah.
Right. So that's the distinction. So I'm glad that my listener, Ms. Molina, asked me to explain the distinction there. Right, they defend the government. Yeah. Right,
Neville.
Yeah,
Neville. That's a distinction that's not necessarily upheld.
Correct. But the role is the Attorney General is in charge of the Department of Justice, and they defend the government. And they defend the people, right? They
right.
do not defend the governor, right? That's not how it works. And they also also delegate deputy or assistant attorney generals to represent certain entities, right? Certain like the Board of Elections and other entities as well, if in
right.
fact issues come up. So that's a very, very good suggestion there. Ms. Molina, thank you very much for that. And people have a misinterpretation that the Attorney General belonged to the governor. That's not the case, right? And as a matter of fact, Rocky, as we go to break, that's a reason why people have wanted that position to be elected and not appointed, because they want some separation, clear separation between
right.
the Attorney General and the governor of the Virgin Islands. We'll take a break and pick up this topic. When we come back, we'll also talk about the Mike Pence declaration on the weekend and the Biden fundraising as well. We'll be back right after this.
St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTGX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here at Analyze This. Ronnie Russell had to step away for a little bit. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. I got Rocky Laybaud here. So, Rocky, you know, like I tell you, the phone line gone wild, right?
Yeah.
Right? Check this out, right? No. Check this out, man. A lot of opinions. Here we go. Opinion number one. I have said for years we should be electing the AG. That position should not be in the governor's cabinet. That's why we have these issues, right? That's opinion number one. Opinion number two, when they get into the job, the AG sees how much has not been done. And when they attempt to fix it, they get beat up by the powers that be, right? And now the third opinion. Tell your opinion, knocking dog, like you said. That's a thumb wrong. I don't know. Not left or right. Knocking dog, right? They said AG should be elected. Because even though he or she is the government's attorney, they're also serving at the pleasure of the governor. Oxymoronic. He said, in a small place like this, there are not enough layers of bureaucracy between the AG and frontline staff to prevent or lessen political pressure / interference, unlike the U.S. AG, who has significant separation between him and cases as well as policy. So this is a very delicate topic here, Rocky, and when I think back, the previous previous president, remember he had Jeff Sessions, and then he went to Bill Barr, right? And that was that was somewhat complicated. And then by the end of his term, Jeff Sessions had already resigned, and he had run against Tommy Tuberville to be the U.S. senator from Alabama. And now in this case, we got Merrick Garland, who people claiming ain't doing enough, ain't going strong after Trump and all that stuff, when they don't seem to understand his job isn't to go after Trump. His job is to dispense justice and do things fairly. You know what I'm saying? So that political dynamic, and this goes back, you know. Remember now, the great John F. Kennedy hired who as his attorney general?
Wasn't he brother?
He brother. That's right. Robert Kennedy. You know what I'm saying? So this thing, man, we got to be very careful, you know, about this. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we need for a fair application of the law for everyone. Yeah. That's what the AG is responsible for.
Now, you know what it means, though, that we have to revisit that whole issue.
That's part of the Constitutional Convention then. Like last week when we talk about education and history, maybe that's another situation, another dynamic that needs to be looked at in terms of our composition of government here in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, because you see what happens is that, you know, sometimes we get criticized for, oh, well, you guys were there and you didn't do this. But sometimes the situation don't arrive at a time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Look what happened in this world. We had no COVID before. COVID changed the way of so many things, doing things. And that happened recently. All the time we saw and so those things were one more part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have these things called amendments, to amend the law, to make it fit according to the time. and sometimes we have that vehicle, and our people don't use it.
No, but actually, Rocky, though, in addition to what you're saying is 100% correct, right? Nobody anticipated a pandemic, the likes of COVID back in between 1991 and 2005, and then 2015 and 16 when you were senator. You know what I'm saying? It come out of nowhere, yeah, and you deal with it. But that's why Ms. Molinar's suggestion was absolutely important, because she knows that a lot of people misinterpret the role of the AG. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they believe that, you know, when the governor says something, AG got to do this. Not necessarily so. You know what I'm saying? And to me, you know, that's why we have a role here at During the Table Talk and here and analyze this and NPR in general, to educate the public as to structure and roles and responsibility, you know. And some people got the wrong idea about an AG. For example, President Trump had the wrong idea about an AG. You follow what I'm saying? He thought the AG, I'm serious. He thought that the AG, however he sees things, that's how the AG is supposed to look at it. And in his case, where he has been in thousands of lawsuits, because that's his modus operandi, he think he's a lawyer and know jurisprudence better than lawyers, because he live in a courtroom. And that's not the case, man. That's not the case.
Well, Trump is a guy that want everybody to see things the way he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And most of the time he sees it wrong. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But he rules with an iron fist, though. He thinks that money and power is supposed to be the dominant factor in everything. And you and I know, Rocky, sometimes outstanding strategy could undermine money and power.
Oh God, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Brain over brawn have win out in many occasions. So, you know what I mean? If you bigger than me, then I know that I got to, if I go after your shin them to cut you down to size, right?
Yeah.
that's the strategy. I got to get you down to my level. You know what I'm saying? That's what, you know, speaking of Trump, Mike Pence said that he will not endorse Donald Trump for the presidency, which is amazing. But at the same time, understandable.
Why you
right?
think that's amazing?
Well, because I thought that he was a hardcore Republican. And just like, remember now, Mitch McConnell said that Trump is the reason why January 6th happened and that the courts need to deal with it. And then last week, a week before, he endorsed Trump, right? I thought that Pence may have, you know, towed the party line. But I could understand why Pence didn't do it, because you had Trump supporters coming in the Capitol building looking for Pence, right? Where is Mike Pence? You know what I'm saying? So at that point, it wasn't political. It shifted to personal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's what I said. On one hand, I'm surprised. On the other hand, I'm not surprised. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, because I think what happened is that Pence realizes that he's gone far enough with Trump. He's been there by his side, and he knew he was doing craziness, but he was the lieutenant governor, and the vice president, and he wanted to support him, okay? But he realized now that these guys wasn't supporting him when they tell him to go and fix everything. That's what he had to do, to go and fix it, to go and fix the election. And he feels now, listen, man, I can't continue to do wrong. I know that was wrong. And then you want to penalize me.
Looks like we lost Rocky there. We go get to call him. But along the lines of what Rocky was talking about, it's crazy. You know, and on the morning of January 6th, Trump was saying, if Mike Pence does what we need him to do, or what we think he should do, then we're going to be okay. And of course, Pence was told by Dan Quayle and others that, your job is to certify. Your job is not to reject, numbers from certain states. And he didn't do that. And the next thing you know, the Trump supporters came after Pence and they had to secure him. They had to hide him out at a secure location, and they didn't. They didn't complete the certification of the presidential election until 2-3 o'clock that morning. I'll rock you back on the line.
Yeah, I just got back.
So from that standpoint, and then when you see the footage where people say we're looking for Mike Pence, at that point, right, Rocky, I a little bit different, you know, right? And I know that if that were you too, if I am Mike Pence and I watching TV and I see that Trump supporters were looking for me, then at that point I got to go look for Trump. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know that.
That's just how the rules is, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's why Trump has no respect for Pence, because he did what he did to the man. And that's number one. Because Pence didn't do what he wanted him to do. And now Pence ran for president and Trump crushed him. So there's absolutely no respect going on there. Rocky Labor, and it's gotten to the point now where it's personal, very personal.
Yeah, but listen, Neville, that was me. I was in that position. I not only was going to go after him, but I'm going to call him out, because I'm a guy like this. Me and you good, and we doing things straight up. But the minute you decide that you want to do craziness and is under my watch, and I have something to do with it, I can call you. I don't care who it is. Brother, friend, cousin, or what. And all people don't have that courage, Neville.
I brought this up earlier, Rocky. We've had governors and lieutenant governors who had fallen out, right?
Yeah.
We had Wang Louis Millen, and then in 82, Millen ran against Wang Louis, right? We had Turnbull and James ran against Turnbull in 2002. So, you know, what's going on with vice president and president falling out? I think it actually started with Evans and Moss, right? Back in the day, right?
Who Moss wrong with?
Wasn't Moss his lieutenant governor and then Addy took over for him?
Yeah, I think he quit and
Addy
took over.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So we've had falling outs with presidents and, governors and lieutenant governors at the state and jurisdiction and territorial levels. But at the presidential level, it's rough.
Yeah, because I think Trump realizes that he made a major mistake, because now he wants to be president and he's like, nobody pays him any mind, because he condoned a bunch of wrong for so long.
You're talking about Pence.
I never really say nothing against it. So all of a sudden, now you know it was wrong then? Come on.
No, I agree with that. The Ronnie is back on the line. Rocky, this falling out with Trump and Pence, it has the potential to give him more flammable and ugly, you know, because in the indictment for Jack Smith in the January 6th case, he actually referenced testimony from Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Ronnie?
Yeah. I'm here.
And I was saying that in the January 6th filing, right, of Jack Smith from back in August, some of the things he referenced in that indictment was testimony from Mike Pence about what Trump wanted him to do and how his lawyers and all them were actually imploring Pence to do what they wanted him to do to undermine the peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah, and that is really significant, because it is your vice president testifying against you and trying to protect the union as to opposed to destroying it. And that is what's happening. Pence understands that he reached the vice president in a democracy. And although he might, you know, he have MAGA conditions that he agreed with, I don't think he agreed with destroying the democracy that made him vice president. So he part ways, and I think he's going to hurt Trump in the long run in any election, because Pence got a strong
conservative following.
Conservative, yeah. Religious.
Yeah.
You know, conservative is the religious right follows Pence because he stand up for them, and so I think it's going to hurt Trump greatly in the election. So you know, the dust will settle accordingly, Neville, and when the dust settles, I think if Biden could remain healthy, he gonna win by a landslide.
He said, I'm incredibly proud of the record of our administration, said Pence. But that being said, during my presidential campaign, I made it clear that there were profound differences between me and President Trump on a range of issues, and not just our differences on our constitutional duties that I exercised on January 6th. So one of the things, Rocky, that he said is that I'm not endorsing Trump because I want to uphold the Constitution. And in doing so, he is saying Trump is not about upholding the Constitution.
Right. And you know, and that made me think about people like DeSantis. DeSantis came out there with all the energy and vigor, and he's going to take out Trump. Trump called Mark and a little boy. He's too short, and okay, he is. And, you know, he turned around and go endorse what?
Got to do it.
He turns around and Trump make them look like some little boys. You know, I don't know how in the world I don't know in the world the scientists could now go to Florida and want to go and buy the people when you see Trump make him look like a fool. I mean, the same thing happened to Christina.
But you know why, Rocky? You know why he do it? And the same thing, Ronnie, and the audience. Because 2028 coming and he wants to run for president again as a Republican.
But Neville, all of them that ran against Trump in 2016, Trump called all of them.
Yes, sir.
And all of them.
He tell Ted Cruz, he talk about Ted Cruz's wife, man. And Ted Cruz is one of the biggest supporters right now. Ronnie, there's nothing worse than dealing with somebody who she embarks bossing them.
Yes. And so they don't have any backbone, people knowing that.
No.
They don't even have a conscience to support the family members when this man attacking them. So they don't, so nobody ain't gonna vote for them ever again.
But check this out, Rocky bring up a good point. After, I think it was New Hampshire primary, right? Donald Trump said, if you support Nikki Haley, don't come back. I don't want your money. Right? Ronnie, if I was a Republican, no presidential candidate or nominee could talk to me like that when I supported my party, you know. You check what I'm saying? It looks like you got a lot of coward people in this place, man, with all that talk that they're going with.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad, man. In other words, even if you get a nomination, don't believe I giving you a dime after you talk to me like that. Okay, you telling me, you questioning my freedom and my right to support how I support whom I want to support, and that's disrespectful. Right. Don't come back at all. You check. So it's gonna be interesting to see how that one pan out. When we come back, we're gonna talk about this lawsuit that the National Association of Realtors. I had a settlement for $480 million and that 6% application supposed to go down. So I want to talk to y'all about that. We'll take a break and come back right after this.
Don't tell me we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Back here and analyze this great discussion, a range of topics today, and I'm glad to have the one and only Rocky Labor joining me. He has been a senator here in the Virgin Islands, 8 years, territorial at large senator, Senate president twice in the 21st and 24th legislature. I believe that's 95 and 96 and 2001 and 2002. Good morning, Rocky Labor. Glad to have you on.
Good morning, Mr. President, and good morning to your listening audience.
Good. And we also have Ronnie Russell, four-term senator, Senate president in 2011 and 2012, and musician and all that stuff, and a lawyer here.
A good
guitarist, man, without a doubt. Yeah, Ronnie Russell, glad to have you on, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Neville. I hope I could revisit for a minute or two the resignation of the attorney general.
You know something? Go right ahead now, because let me do that, and then we could cycle back to this big lawsuit and real estate and all that stuff. So, here's what I mentioned, Ronnie, as a foundational thing. We've had two attorney generals and two acting attorney generals over the last 14 and a half months, right? Now, that is a high-profile, tense agency historically, and of course a lot of opinions about whether that person should be elected, what have you, and all that stuff. We would like for a situation where the attorney general is working in concert with a governor from day one and throughout the term. Unfortunately, that has not been the case historically, and is definitely not the case with this administration. What is your take on that regard?
First of all, to think that the attorney general serves the governor is a mistake.
Yeah, we addressed that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The second thing, there's a reasonable compromise, because I was leaning toward an elected attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
The reasonable compromise is that once the governor selects an attorney general, that attorney general cannot be removed unless for cause. They got to do something wrong in the law, wrong with their duties, wrong with the ethical conduct of an attorney before they could be removed, and only the Senate could remove them when evidence is presented to the Senate, so that it removes the governor from firing the attorney general, number one. The job is secure because he or she could only be removed for cause, and it should last 5 years, the appointment. It should last between elections so that there's continuity in the office regarding how to deal with crimes and how to deal with the policies that are established by the legislature to deal with law and order. So that's the reasonable compromise.
So you're saying, as it stands right now, our structure is antiquated and we need modifications going forward?
Absolutely, Neville, because what is being demonstrated is that people believe the Attorney General solves the governor instead of solving the people. And that's wrong. The Attorney General is appointed to solve the people's interests in law and order and enforce the laws of the territory created by the legislature.
So you're saying there is no true separation of powers if, in fact, the governor has the ability to fire the Attorney General?
Exactly.
Rocky, what's your take on that? Let me get some feedback here. Rocky, what's your take on that?
I listen to what Ronnie is saying, and it sounds like he had some merit. I got to ask him now, Ronnie. So you're saying now that the governor's role in dismissing our attorney general will be what?
He cannot dismiss. He could only say that the attorney general breached the ethical or the duties and responsibilities of the attorney general.
So you're saying in order to sanction the attorney general, he should submit it back to the legislature so the legislature would have that ability?
The legislature would be able to remove the attorney general based on evidence.
Ooh. So you give him more power to our favorite branch of government, Roddy? You know the public that complain about these things or no? I like it. I like it, but you know what I'm saying? How they are. They like to beat up on the legislature.
No, well, who can form the attorney general? Roddy.
You're right.
The legislature.
Roddy.
Yeah, go ahead, Rocky.
If I can form the attorney general and he or she does something wrong, you bring it back to me, I go remove her.
Rocky, there is some symmetry to that, and I like it.
Yeah, but I want to ask him a question.
Yeah.
Isn't that an infringement in the separation of powers?
No, because the reason you make it that way is because the inference of impropriety, just removing an attorney general because they don't agree with you, is higher. And what has happened in the situations that we face right now is that there's an inference that the attorney general and the governor don't agree, and so he could remove them. No, that's wrong.
Yeah, but Ronnie, hold on, Ronnie. So where you're seeing this type of hybrided legislation, where?
The issue becomes that you don't need to see it in someplace else, because we have a pretty unique revised organic act that gives the governor more power than any other state.
So what
you want to do is to relax the power.
But Ronnie, so are you suggesting, like what I told Rocky earlier when you stepped away, that this is something for the Constitutional Convention to look at when they point a document together?
Absolutely. And that's why we got to draft it ourselves, because we are unique.
Rocky, you asked a question, and here is my counter-argument, right? This is just for the purposes of discussion, right?
Yeah.
If, in fact, we say that the attorney general is the people's attorney, not the governor's attorney, right?
Yeah.
And the people elect the legislators, right? Then what is wrong with the attorney general, right, being sanctioned by the legislature?
Well, the difference is that if that's the way you want it to be to me, then you have to elect them.
That's a good point, too. But here's the deal, right? Because that's why I asked the question the first go around.
Yeah.
The governor sends down the attorney general, right, to be confirmed, right, for review and subsequent confirmation or denial at the legislature. If the governor believed that the attorney general has breached, why not use the same principle for removing the attorney general by sending it down to the legislature? Given that the attorney general is the people's attorney, not the governor's counsel.
But Neville, if you want to say that what Ronnie is trying to say is that then you have to elect the attorney general.
No, that's a good point, man. Yeah, fish or fall is what you're saying. Don't go hybrid. Go all in or, okay. All out.
Rocky, I could deal with either defendant and the will of the people. The people have to weigh in because it is the people's choice whether to elect an attorney general or to give the legislature the only power to remove the attorney general. In the states, you know, you got to impeach some of these people through the same body, you know. That's what it's going to do. When you get appointed and you got some big position, the only way to remove them is impeach them in the Congress. So I follow in that kind of hybrid. You see what I'm saying?
No. You're right. Because this is a form of impeachment.
Yeah. All I was asking Ronnie, if you have some precedent to what you are saying that we could use here.
And Ronnie, let you know, this is a novel idea, man. It's a novel idea. Yeah. But check this out. You know what makes the AG different from other cabinet members, right? Is that those cabinet members are responsible for managing an agency, right?
Right.
The AG is responsible for defending the people in a court of law in the third branch. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So as a result of that, I don't think it would be that novel. Right, for us to look at something that would create that clear layer of separation between the attorney general and the governor's office. Because what Ronnie is saying, right, is that you can't have, or you shouldn't, right? And then we're not blaming Governor Bryan. This is historically where governors are falling out with attorney generals, right? We have a difference of opinion, then you go home. There's something wrong with that, man. We got a problem there with
that. All I'm trying to do is to make sure that our listeners understand that what are the options.
Yeah.
And
that this situation is very, very unique and very, very delicate. This is very delicate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know that the administration will go into discussion on separation of powers.
But here's what we're saying, Rocky, right? This administration is not the first administration that's being subjected to questions about the lack of separation of powers or the lack of independence of the attorney general and the governor's office, right? Yeah. This has been going on for decades, right?
Right.
So we're not knocking this administration. The governor was well within his right, right, to remove Attorney General George back in on New Year's Eve in 2022. Why? Because the way we're structured, it allowed for it, right? What Ronnie is saying is, if in fact that's the case and we claiming that we need some independence with the AG and the governor, right? Then we need to look at a particular remedy or a different structure. That's my interpretation of what Ronnie's saying. I could be wrong, but that's what he's saying.
No, I applaud it because that's the beginning of how laws are developed.
Mm-hmm.
You begin with a concept, an idea, and you vet it, and you can come up with a probable solution.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Quickly, though, I want to touch on this. I don't want the public to think we're running from it. Back in October, right, a federal jury in Kansas City found the National Association of Realtors, NAR, and some of the largest real estate brokers in the country guilty of colluding to inflate real estate commissions, right? And they came back with $1.78 billion in damages, right? Right? So there was a settlement of $418 million. And one of the things that we've been talking about on the table talk is the abuse in the supermarkets and the different places. We call it greedflation. That's a term we don't use. Where they are artificially inflating prices, right? For no reason but to line pockets. Apparently the same thing been happening in real estate, man. Rocky, you live on St. John where we got these big $2, $3, $4, $5 million homes are being built in the early part of the millennium and they're still being sold today. Something got to give, Rocky, man. They've been taking advantage of us, man.
Yeah, listen, the real estate industry has to be looked at because for a long time, our people feel that, first of all, not too many of us in it, number one. And number two, this percentage that are charged. And then sometimes our people feel like, I can't sell my own land. I got to go to somebody to sell it. Those are the kind of issues that bother us right here.
Roddy, you're a lawyer. Give us your legal interpretation. This is a significant case.
Yeah, well, the 6% etched in stone for real estate was challenged. And now real estate agents have to revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it has to visit it, because 6% of a high value is a lot of money. So you could jack up the price of the property, and if you know you're getting 6%, you securing your payday. And no. That is what they're challenging.
In 2020, Americans paid over $85 billion in residential real estate commissions.
Exactly.
That's a lot of money, Ronnie.
They're challenging the commission, at any cost, okay? Any cost that's fixed, and then you have these organizations that represent all the realtors. That should be challenged because the fixed cost is a set price,
mm-hmm,
that could jack up the real estate market simply because you know that you're getting 6%. So now it should be based on an individual negotiated price.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you selling your house for $200,000, you might tell the real estate agent, okay, I getting no money, so you take 4%. If you want 4%, if you don't want 4%, I go into an next realtor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the open market should be established real when it comes to real estate. You should be able to negotiate the price. And I hate to say that, but that's how we go.
Gentlemen, great, great, great discussion. We're going to pick this one up because we know the realtors going to chime in, and they got right to chime in because they go defend their market. They go defend their terrain, pun intended, if you know what I mean. hey, Rocky, thanks a lot, and Ronnie, and looking forward to talking to you next week, okay?
Yeah.
All right, man. Yeah.
Okay, good. Take care. Great show this morning. Thanks to all the listeners, all the text messages, all that good stuff. Be good and be safe. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.